God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy that you pour out on us. We thank you for your love, which is new every morning. It's something we can experience. God, we thank you that you never hold back your love from us, but you continually call us into you and call us into more. Father, I pray that as we talk today, Father, that we would be reminded of your goodness and reminded of your presence, Father. That we'd be reminded of your protection and your grace and your mercies. God, we thank you that you hold each of us close to you, that you call us in for comforting and for protection, Father, and even more than that, you go looking for us. You want us to be with you. So God, we thank you for that. Lead us the rest of this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. So we're still in our series about being a worshiper and being a church of worshipers, and I decided to call today "Don't Let Fear," because fear does a lot of things, doesn't it? Like, fear holds people back, fear distracts us, fear shifts our focus from where it should be on God to ourselves or a situation or what we see happening around us. Fear pulls our focus off of helping each other and serving each other to how can I protect myself? What do I need to do to protect myself? Right? And I think fear is something that stops us from serving God and serving each other effectively. I think fear is one of the things that stops us from worshiping the most. It stops us from being a worshiper of God. It blocks our minds. It stops us from looking at and to God. And rather, it has us looking at these battles and these things going on around us. And even the different types of battles we have going on around us or within us. Things like moral battles, spiritual battles, mental battles, physical battles. All those different battles, seen or unseen, have a tendency to allow us to allow fear into our life. And as believers, we need to take steps to allow these battles to scatter from us, rather than holding on, grabbing on, pulling them in. Because if we don't cause these battles in our life to scatter, they cause us to scatter. They cause us to scatter. And we need to understand, we need, for success in life, in every venture, in every area, it's dependent on our ability to deal with fear. Because fear destroys minds. It destroys our focus. Fear is a phenomenon. It's a thing that the medical field doesn't fully even understand. Right? If you're dealing with fear, they don't know how to handle that. And they recognize that fear is actually the root of every negative emotion that we deal with in our lives today. Fear can do things like make you sick, physically sick, emotionally sick, and cause spiritual issues. God did not design us to live under a spirit of fear, though, right? We read that time and time again, and I'm going to end this talk today, I guess, with a rapid fire of just scriptures for you. And sometimes I talk too quick, And people are like, what's that scripture? Oh, and you're talking. So I was kind enough today to put them up on the projector, just the verse, scripture and verse, so that you can find them. Because I think these are important weapons, important tools to have in your back pocket ready to fire. Okay? Because we're not designed to live with fear. And when fear is there in your life, things happen, right? Your mind and emotions don't function properly because you start believing lies. Your imagination, which is designed for you to use with your faith, is going to ramp up, and things which are not there, do not exist, or are not going to happen, start to be real to you. And most of what people are afraid of is never actually going to happen. And fear takes your mind and comes up with negative things and emotions to help you get off track, to forget about worshiping God, to start allowing yourself to step away from that life of worship, and you start walking down this other path, and you start getting physically sick, emotionally sick, and all these different pieces. If you want to live a life of freedom, prosperity, peace, and joy, if you want to be worshipers, you must be aware of fear. And what the enemy wants you to do with fear is that the enemy will try to use this to shut you down. And as worshipers, we can't allow the enemy to shut us down. In fact, we need to cause that fear to take off. So in John 14, 27, Jesus knew this, and he said that when I'm going to leave you, I'm going to leave you my own peace. And it says this, "Peace I leave with you, my own peace, and I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled." Jesus is saying here, you have a responsibility to shut down fear in your life. You have the responsibility. He's already given you the peace. He's already left us the peace. Now it's our part, because everything we talk about, healing, prayer, this, that, when we pray to God and ask God, the promises of God are already been given to us. It's up to us to do our part, right? It's not just us saying here, God, do this, and I'm going to put my feet up, kick my feet up, and let you do your thing. It's up to us to take action. You need to make the choice. He didn't say, I'm going to make all this go away. But he tells us, don't allow it in your life. Stop it. I've given you peace, now walk in that peace. A culture of fear or a spirit of fear in the church makes the church completely ineffective. I want us to be an effective church, a church full of worshipers. When we're ineffective and filled with fear, we cannot do the job that we are called to do. As believers, when you're filled with fear, you're hunkering down rather than getting out, rather than worshiping, you're hiding. And if a spirit of fear spreads faster than anything known to man. When we allow a spirit of fear in our life, it will spread faster. It causes us to make poor or bad choices. That's what a spirit of fear does. And 2 Thessalonians 2:2 says, "Not to allow your minds to be quickly unsettled or disturbed, or kept excited or alarmed, whether it be by some pretended revelation of the Spirit or by the Word or by the latter alleged to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has already arrived and is here." And as I think about the spirit of fear, I think of this story that I heard or read once, and this is why I think it spreads faster than anything. Okay, this is why I think it spreads faster than any sickness, than any disease, than anything. And maybe you know this story. Maybe you've heard this story. Maybe you've talked about this story. It's about these 12 fellas, these 12 guys. And they were sent out to check out, scope out another place, okay? another place to go and live. And let's say they were sent to another country to do some spying, okay? So these 12 dudes, they were sent out to do some spying, to do a little, espionage. And these guys all saw the same thing, right, when they went to this other country. They all saw the same thing. Nobody, their eyes weren't like, okay, you go over there and I'll go over here. No, they went together and they saw the same thing. And even before they went to this country to check it out, these 12 guys, they saw the same miracles that God had and the Lord had done for them already, didn't they? They saw this sea parted. They saw them miraculously brought out of this country. Let's just say that country is Egypt. Maybe you know this story. And they saw supernatural protection in their life, supernatural leading in their life. And when these 12 dudes came back from this country they were checking out, 10 came back and gave a negative report. We can't do it. They're going to destroy us. There's giants living there. There's actually giants in the land. And their voice went like that. They were crackling because they were scared and fearful. We're finished. We can't do it. Yet the two guys with them that saw the same thing came back and said, yes, we can. Sure, there are giants there, but we know what the Lord has done. We know what God has done for us before. And we need to be careful in our lives when we choose who to listen to. Are we listening to the 10 or are we listening to the 2? We need to be careful when we listen to people around us. We need to be careful when we listen to things like the media or Facebook media. Or, you know, we've got to be careful. The media and the news groups do not care about your mental health. Did you know that? The media and news groups, they don't care about your physical health or anything like that. They care about selling newspaper and getting ratings. They care about sensationalizing stories to cause fear, because what happens when George Bush went into Iraq years ago? It was we sensationalized this war in Iraq. Second George Bush, not first George Bush. Second time we went into Iraq, not the first time. And it was live on CNN and War TV, and it was sensationalized. Why do they do that? Because they think it's important for you to know every strategic move, or to get ratings? To get ratings, right? They sensationalize war. They sensationalize everything in order to build up fear, to build up drama, to get eyeballs on their news. See, fear draws eyeballs over good news, doesn't it? Like, there's a reason they stopped telling you about the cats that the fire department rescued from the trees. That's a good news story, isn't it? Like, if you watch the news, there might be 30 seconds of good news and 59 minutes and 30 seconds of junk that's been sensationalized to make us fearful. We have two groups that stood up, and they both had an opportunity to see the same things in the same land. But yet the accurate analysis was with one group. The fear group spoke their fear, and their fear spread through 2 million people in one day, faster than Facebook could have done it, right? And they didn't even have Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or nothing. They didn't have to take pictures of hashtag giants, right? They didn't have to do any of that. They just talked, and their fear spread. This is why I say we can't have a spirit of fear within the church. We can't have a spirit of fear in our households. We can't have a spirit of fear within our families. We can't have a spirit of fear in leadership anywhere in our world. Because fear pushes at us. But as believers, courage should rise up instead of allowing fear to rise up. Courage transfers a spirit to a spirit of faith. It transfers to a spirit of victory. Courage transfers to a spirit of freedom. Because when you're living under a spirit of fear, when you're allowing the spirit of fear to captivate you, what happens? You're not free. You're shackled. You're handcuffed. So I'll tell you this. Stop watching 14 hours a day of CNN, CBC, CNBC, CTV, probably any of those C networks, or anything else or anyone else, and get into His Word. And when you think fear is lurking around, look at what His Word says. So Psalm 46, it's this idea of God as the refuge of His people and conqueror of the nations. And it says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time in trouble. Therefore, what? We will not fear. Can we say that together? Therefore, we will not fear. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There's a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. Just at the break of dawn, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear. The bow, sorry, bow. I'm thinking of my boat. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It's our safe place. Selah. See, we don't need to be hiding and running to the mountains or the bushes to hide as believers. When things are happening like today, we don't need to go all David Koresh and build a compound to lock ourselves in, and when they try to come, burn it to the ground. That's not what we need to do. We don't need to hunker down. Does everybody know who David Koresh was? I'll explain later to our... You don't know, Bill? David Koresh. Waco, Texas, like 19 or 20, 2000 something. Anyways, we'll talk about it later. But we don't need to hunker down is what the whole purpose is. We need to do what the Lord has commanded us to do. In times like today, we don't need to hide. And what's happening on in the world around us, we don't need to hide. You know what we need to do? We need to occupy until Jesus comes back. That's what we talked about before. We need to take up ground for the kingdom. We need to advance the kingdom of God. We don't need to hide and be timid, but rather we need to advance. If you're hiding, stop hiding. Start advancing. Start preaching the good news. Start talking about God and His protection and His love for us. We need to rise up as leaders, as believers. We need to laugh and we need to enjoy life again. We need to stop being scared of what is around every corner. One of the things I hate the most, and I hate this, I know as a pastor I shouldn't hate, but I hate the most is when someone says the new normal. Or how some talking head, some person on TV, and they say, things have changed forever. They're telling us things are changing. The government's telling us it's changing. Who the heck are they? They are not the experts. They don't have vision. You know what my news says? My news says this. John 10:10 tells me this. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's what my news tells me. Not that I need to hide and hunker down and do this and do that junk, but I have life to the fullest. Superior in quality, innumerable in quantity. That's what my news tells me. Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. See, with fear, there's torment. Fear brings weakness in the handcuffs and the snares that I talked about. Fear makes you angry. Fear is the opposite of what God gives. I don't read anything in there. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of torment, of weakness, of snares, of being angry and mad at everybody. No, we have freedom, we have love, and we have a sound mind. Another way to say that is for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, cowardness, of craven and cringing and fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and of calm and well-balanced mind, and disciplined and self-control. We are not to have a spirit of fear because it was not given to us. So why the heck do so many believers grab onto it? See, if you have fear as a believer, it has come into your life from an outside source. It's not the spirit as a born-again believer that you were given. Did we read that there, that we were given that spirit? No, we weren't. If it is not the spirit that you were given, it is not the spirit that should come out of you. And if you struggle with fear, then you have something that has been learned, that has been taught to you, that others have spoken into you and you've grabbed a hold of. So I'm going to encourage you today to drop that spirit that you've learned and start acting out of the spirit that you have been given by God. When you give your life to Jesus, then you have a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. So a spirit of power. That's not a spirit of willpower or of human power, of people power. That's not what it is. We need to be walking in the power of Jesus Christ, who was raised again on the cross. Ephesians 6:10 says, in conclusion, be what? Is it up there? Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. To get a spirit of power, you need to believe that it is in you. That you have that spirit of power through our union with Jesus. Through our accepting Him, believing on Him, we have now that power. To believe that the spirit of power, which is the Holy Spirit within you, to start acting and walking on that. See, some people beg and plead, God, I need you. And if you're a believer, you need to understand that He is always with you because the Holy Spirit is in you. Always. And the enemy is going to get you to try to fight fear and bring things up around you, and you're going to grab onto that fear and try to fight fear. But you need to realize that you don't need to fight fear. You don't need to fight fear because fear's already been defeated on the cross. And because we have the union with Jesus, we have His power in us. And we have no reason to be afraid. And if we read that again, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love. What does that mean? Well, it's not a conditional love. It's not a fickle love. It's not based on emotions or feeling or, hey, check her out or him out. That's not love. But 1 John 4:17 to 19 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." See, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he loved us first. So this is a love that the world does not know. This love that we are given, this love that we have because he has given us the spirit of love, is something that the world around us doesn't know. They can't comprehend it. They can't grasp it, because this is a love that comes from God through his son Jesus. It's God's love. It's a love that loves others. It's a love that is outwardly focused. This is the type of thing that breaks down fear in our life, because we have a spirit of love. And the amazing thing about God's love is it's different than the world's love, because it's unconditional. We just love, don't we? We sang that song this morning about how he loves us. I don't think Mary sang a line about he loves us, but I need to get my stuff together. He loves us, but I got to stop sucking so much. He loves us if I actually start doing this, this, and this. There was none of that, right? It's he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And we need to start living in that love, because when we're not living in that love, it's very easy for fear to start pressing on us and coming at us. But we need to actually start living in that love and experiencing that love that he has given us, because that type of love is actually the tool to defeat fear. Or one of the tools to defeat fear. See, because the Bible tells us that perfect love casts out fears, doesn't it? There is no fear in love. So I want to give you an example of this. Is everybody here love snakes? Michelle? Really? Okay, well, Michelle, this is not a good example for you. I'll come up with a better example for you later. But if I ever came into my kids' room, especially when they were little, and there was a bunch of snakes all over their floor and snakes crawling on their bed and maybe the odd rat or mouse running around the room, right? What's most of our, if our kids aren't in there, what's our first thing? Shut the door, let me call the exterminator, right? Let me get some fire, and let me just burn that part of the house down. I don't need that room. Let's move, yes. Call a realtor. But if my kid's in the room, what happens? My kids, my love for my kids takes over, and there is no longer fear in there. And I'm kicking, and I'm going all crazy, and I'm kicking, I'm maybe getting a hockey stick and shooting a rat against the wall, and I'm grabbing my kids and I'm holding them tight. I got snakes on me, but it doesn't matter, because I have no fear because of my love for my child. Because perfect love has no fear. Love casts out fear. It throws it away. It's why things like so many parents perish trying to go in and save their child from a burning house or in a burning apartment. Because you toss out the fear. People are like trying to hold you back, and you're like, my kid's in there, I'm getting in there. Because love casts out fear. And the third thing I read is a spirit of a sound mind. Not self-control or behavior modification, but a sound mind. It's the spirit of a sound mind. So maybe this verse will help us understand that a little better. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known or understood the mind, the counsel and purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart." The mind of Christ, his feelings and thoughts and desires rise up from within us to our mind if we renew it to his word. Let the peace of Christ in our lives rise up and take out the fear that we might be trying to hold on. We got to stop holding on to fear. We need to let it go. Do you want me to sing Let It Go? Will that help? Yes. We honestly can't hold it back though. We can't hold on to it. Too many of us want to hold on to fear. I don't know if it's because it makes us feel victim, or we want people to feel sorry for us, or we just don't understand how God has given us the spirit of peace, and we don't want to grab onto the peace. We need the peace of Christ to rise up in our lives. Not willpower, not emotional love, and it's not behavioral change. I'm going to invite Mary up. So I was thinking, have you ever seen a wolf? They're pretty big animals. They're pretty majestic. They're amazing animals to watch, right? And when they decide it's time to kill, it's time to kill. Much like a lion or tiger. But imagine a wolf or a lion or a tiger being raised by a mama teacup poodle. Right? The lion, the tiger, or the wolf is being raised by this tiny little poodle. That's not a killer at all. It's not the guard dog I would choose. Right? Would anybody choose a teacup poodle as their guard dog? Would anybody choose a poodle? Would you? Stacy tells me she doesn't want a poodle. But you've got this poodle raising these fierce, ferocious, strong animals, right? And as these animals start to grow and become full grown, and you've got this wolf, and I don't even know how big a lion is. Let's say their back is about there. And tigers about the same probably, right? Those Siberian tigers. So they're all about this big. And then they got this little poodle. Mama poodle. See, those animals that are fierce, strong. They don't have to pray, God, give me some claws and some teeth, do they? They've already got them. They don't have to pray, God, give me muscles and strength, do they? They naturally already have those. See, the lion, the tiger, and the wolf all just need to realize what they have and who they are. Because far too long they've been under the poodle's tutelage. And we need to realize who we are as believers and what we have. Because that poodle's probably taught this lion, this tiger, and this wolf. If somebody yells, somebody comes at you, you don't try to show your teeth, you run. You go try to hide under. Could you imagine a poodle trying to hide under here, and then a lion and a wolf and a tiger? Like, they're not going to fit under the chair. A poodle can. But a lion, a tiger, and a wolf don't need to hide, do they? They need to know who they are and what they have, the strength that they have, the authority that they have, who they are. That's what they need to realize. Nothing else but who they are and what they have, what they've been given by Jesus. The authority, the fact that he says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. So why the heck are you walking around with a spirit of fear? Right? You've been given this love and this power and this sound mind. Now go. Don't hide. We don't need to be fearful of the world around us. We need to get into his word and know what his word says. Know what his word says about us. We need to know what we have. So, some of my fast scriptures beyond what I've shared today. Proverbs 1:33. Nora, yeah, you can flip them all up there. But whoso hearkens to me, wisdom shall dwell secure and in confident trust, and shall be quiet without fear or dread of evil. Deuteronomy 2:25. Today I will begin to make all the people in the world under heaven afraid of you. When they hear reports about you, they will shake with fear and they will be terrified of you. See, we don't have to be fearful. When we actually are activated and we are not living in fear, we can step out and start living as Christ has called us. And you know what? The enemy is going to say, you. And not you. And you're not going to say, you. But you're going to say, you, get out. You have no power and no authority over me. You have no authority over my situation. You have no authority and rights around me, on my family, on my property, with my church. You. Deuteronomy 3:22 says, you shall not fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you. Deuteronomy 11:25. There shall no man be able to stand before you. The Lord your God shall lay the fear and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread, as he said to you. Joshua 10:8. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hand. There shall not a man of them stand before you. Joshua 10:10, and the Lord caused the enemies to panic before Israel, who slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goes up to Beth Horon and smote them as far as Azekah and Makkedah. Psalm 37:11-15, people who are not proud, the humble, meek, will inherit the land. Sorry, that's Matthew 5:5. And will enjoy complete peace or much prosperity. The wicked make evil plans against good, righteous people. They grind and gnash their teeth at them in anger. But the Lord laughs at the wicked because he sees that their day of judgment is coming. The wicked draw their swords and bend string their bows to kill the poor and helpless, to kill and slaughter those who are honest, whose way is straight. But their swords will stab and enter their own hearts, and their bows will break. Isaiah 55:11. The same thing is true of the words I speak that go out of my mouth. They will not return to me empty. They will not return to me void. They make the things happen that I want to happen and accomplish what I desire and propose. And they succeed in doing what I send them to do. And Numbers 14:9. Only do not rebel against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense and their shadow of protection is removed over them, but the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Fear them not. And I remember what the angel of the Lord said to Mary when she said, fear not, or he said, fear not. See, we need to fear not. And we've got a Bible full of verses that tell us to not have fear, to fear not, to walk with confidence, to walk with boldness, to walk with love, to walk with power, to walk with strength, to walk with a sound mind. So why do we continue to fall into fear? We need to remember what we have, like those lions, like that wolf, and like that tiger. We need to remember what we have, the strength that we have. We need to remember we have some claws. We need to remember we have some teeth. We have muscle. We have courage. We need to remember what we have and whose we are, and stop living like a toy poodle and start living victorious and a little ferocious. That's what I want. Because when we stop living with fear and we start living victorious, like I said last week, our hands, when we raise our hands, it's surrender to the Lord and we're raising Him in victory. Last night I finally got to raise my hands in victory because the Riders finally won. Yeah! And this morning we get to raise our hands in victory because the Lord has brought us into victory already. And we can raise our hands in victory, and we can raise our hands and surrender to Him, and we can fear not because of what He has already given us and done. I'm going to invite you guys to stand. And for those of you watching online or those of you that are here, if you don't know Jesus and you're tired of living in fear and you want to know Jesus, you want to cross that line from knowing about Jesus to actually knowing Jesus, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer after me. And if you already know Jesus, I'm going to encourage you just to repeat this prayer after me in case someone around you doesn't know Jesus. So let's pray right now. Just repeat this prayer after me if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and believe on Him. Dear Jesus, thank You for dying in my place and taking every punishment and curse and making me free. So Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, make me new. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time or the second time or whatever, I would love to connect with you. You can call the church 306-882-2453 or email lead@rosetownchurch.ca or just message us on Facebook or YouTube or wherever you're watching. But I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to give you a Bible and just connect. So we're gonna just close in prayer right now. And if you have been holding on to fear, if you've been allowing fear in your life, I'm going to encourage you right now, just as we're praying, just to even physically like shake it off or give it to God, whatever you want to do. But you need to know that you have been brought into victory already and that you have the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Would you guys pray with me? Father God, right now as we're just wrapping up this part of our service, Father, I just praise You and thank You for each person here in our church midst today and for those watching online, God. I pray that today You would remind us of who we are and what You've already given us, that You've given us strength, Father, that You've given us teeth, You've given us claws, You've given us confidence. Father, and I pray that as a church of believers and as a group of believers, Father, that we would rise up and step out into the blessings and the things that You have already given us. God, I pray that we would break these shackles that are holding us back from being true worshipers, from being a worshiper of You, someone that chases after You rather than what we are doing right now of focusing on ourselves and our fears and whatever else it is. Father, I pray that you will break that cycle of that thing that we have learned in being fear, God. I pray that that cycle will be broken and that we will not allow it in our life, Father, and that we would step forward in victory. That we would be fully confident in the things that you have already done for us and that we would walk in that. God, I thank you for each person here today. God, I pray that today they would have been blessed and encouraged, God, and I pray that you would just allow us each to be a blessing to others around us. And Father, I pray that even as we've gone through this today, God, I pray that we would take some time to reflect and share our testimony with each other as we walk more in victory each day. So God, we love you, we honor you, and we thank you. Bless us and lead us this week in Jesus' name. Amen.